Hello, and as always, welcome to the Lifetime Athlete Podcast. This is episode number 89, and the title is Holiday Surthrival Tips. I'm your host, John Zombro, and I'm here with my co-host, the muscle car of a man, Mighty PK.
John, thank you. Happy to be here. Excited to, you know, have another show where you get to invent a new word.
I'm loving it. And this occurred to me, thinking about the season and doing some traveling and, you know, and whatnot. And I realized, the holiday season is really upon us. 'Tis the season, or it's practically here. And this is really, I don't know, it's a brief or moderate show, depending on how you and I decide to get into it, where we're going to discuss some common concerns that often come up at this time of the year for our lifetime athletes. That's every one of you guys listening. Thank you. And we're going to also offer up some tips and suggestions that you may find helpful as you approach all the celebrations and associated fanfare that goes with the holidays, but still find a way to keep your training and your health practices and maybe even your sanity intact.
Right, John. And that's a very measured and deliberate an intentional introduction to today's show, but it's kind of, you know, perhaps even maybe too measured, because you were just on the road and it is an absolute viper pit of pratfalls and challenges out there, really starting around Thanksgiving. So here in, you know, North America, we're, you know, mid, early December, getting into the Christmas swing and travel to all the rigmarole around the holidays. So tell me what got you thinking, because you traveled, you were on a plane, you were thinking about, you know, reflecting on your experience and your, you know, the lifetime athlete, the work there. How'd you come up with today's show?
Well, I think we've got a couple of things that blend in. You know, we've got the holidays and then we've got travel, and sometimes those things are indeed coexisting. Other times we could parse them out. But, you know, I have always been trained, actually, this is a true story, as a physical therapist, to go to airports and observe people and look at their gait patterns and their biomechanical function and this sort of thing. And of course, over time, you know, I started to look at facial expressions and, you know, posture, and just get a sense for, how are folks doing? And so it's a great learning experience for one thing. So it's probably one of the few things that I still enjoy about travel, because it's become the experience that it is for most of us, which is maybe less than glamorous. So I thought about, I love making up words, as you know, and, you know, a lot of the things that we're trying to do as lifetime athletes is, you know, sure, survive, you know, get by, but that's not quite good enough. We want to thrive, kick ass, shall we say. And so if we put that together, especially with the holidays and travel, that combination becomes surthrival.
Yes. Oh man, there we go. I think is it difficult to say surthrival? You have to be deliberate about it. But really, and I mean, you know, so you're talking about how to make the most of it and to really excel. I think framing the conversation, it's just like, I want to get through this holiday season. I want to get through this trip. You know, you see cold weather, lack of sleep. You see these, you know, these bugs or flus that are sweeping the nation, and they're connected with, it seems to be, this time of year. So I'm excited to learn about the insights that you came up with. And I mean, let's get started. Let's talk about that word. What do you mean by surthrival?
I'd say in the bigger picture of life, you know, we always want to be thriving. But then, as you indicated, you know, in the holidays in particular, there sometimes are things where, you know, we do have to get through and survive. And so what are the practices or tactics that we can use to do that surviving, but also, you know, maybe some attitudes or mindsets that we can overlay all of that to actually thrive and to come out on January 2nd, not too, you know, worse for the wear. So there's a list of things that that I think about, you know, at this time of year that most of us are exposed to at least some of, and that would be the events, the parties that, you know, we're going to go to. And most of the time that's festive, you know, the funny sweaters, whatever. But also along with that is the missed workouts. You know, if you, you know, the sometimes you can't fit in a workout because, oh, okay, I got to go to this thing. So maybe we'll talk about how to deal with that. Then I said, gosh, you know, we have these celebratory and wonderful feasts and banquets, sometimes too many of them, or maybe the stuff that's on the table isn't the same thing that we're hoping for our normal training diet, shall we say. But, okay, how can we deal with that? Then we've got the crowds, the lines, the chaos, and, you know, that's in the traffic, the stores, the banks, the airports. You know, how do we stay mindful and get numb at the same time? You know, how do you keep a smile on your face? I think that's worth discussing. And stuff happens, stress, especially schedules change. You know, it's those things are going to happen. Okay, how do we respond or frame travel in and of itself? What does that do to the body, whether that's you know, vehicular of any type, or in the planes, and, you know, the sitting, the pressure changes. Okay, there's those things. The sleep challenges. Maybe you're not able to get to bed or get up at the same time, and probably not sleeping in the same familiar surroundings. And of course, then we have the close proximity of all the folks who aren't wearing masks and have colds, flu, and hacking coughs. And we have this combo of increased exposure and potentially decreased resistance from all the stressors that we just talked about. And then the last thing that sometimes happens, kind of Griswoldian and, you know, holiday things, are the dysfunctional dynamics of human interaction, family and otherwise.
John, that is such a diplomatic way of putting that last point. Dysfunctional dynamics in human interaction. I think that's it's a nice way of putting it, though. It's broad enough. I think that everyone can imagine what that might mean to them. All those things, I think you listed 8 different, like, little bullet points there. I think it's, you know, a change to the routine. All those represent changes, good, you know, welcome, exciting, down to obligations, down to possibly stressful. But, you know, those are changing up the variables in our lives, and in some ways pretty significantly. And so, it's just when you add them up, and I'm listening to you list them out, it's very significant.
Yeah. And I think that having, you know, spewed out those things, so we know now what we're talking about, the things we might face in the holidays, and then we're going to go into some of the ideas or strategies or tips that can make it successful, so that, you know, you can have an outcome. And the way I see it, you know, everyone makes their own goals, but getting through the holidays, there really are 3, as I see it, possible outcomes that we can have. And, you know, I'll explain those, but I'd like to find a way to help everyone choose the latter 2 options that I'm going to mention, and not this first one. The first option of what the holidays might bring is that you are destroyed by the holiday season. You come out on January 2nd, feeling crappy, you've gained weight, you've gotten sick, and you're bummed or pissed.
Yeah, basically you just, like, taking one on the chin. And I'll freely admit, in my life, I've woken up on January 2nd and felt like that, you know, maybe even more than I'd care to admit if I'm looking back objectively.
Yeah, and honestly, I've had a few of those myself. Not recently, but that's life, and we're all in this together, so those things do happen. But now, sure, we can kind of get into, well, what are the other 2 possible outcomes if we use a little bit of science and common sense? It's okay. Well, option 2, you survived the holidays, you maintained most of your conditioning, fairly stable body weight, enjoyed the season, and really are no worse for it. That's not a bad outcome.
That's a great outcome. I think, in particular, looking at all those different variables that can add stress and monkey wrenches into your health and wellness and performance, training, sleep, that alone is, you know, that sort of neutral outcome is good, is positive.
Which brings us to number 3, behind door number 3, folks. This is what happened in the holidays. When you are a lifetime athlete, mixing science and common sense, you thrived. You came out ahead in some categories based on your own assessment. So maybe you didn't get fitter or leaner necessarily. Maybe you did. but you got more rested and or you really enjoyed, without too much dysfunction, your family, friends, or reflection time. And I'd also say, hey, maybe you had some fun, you know, cooking and preparing and enjoying those holiday meals, took a vacation, dove into a project, or you even wound up 10Xing it in a couple of fitness or performance markers. It does and can happen.
Oh, that was a great little list that you put together there. Just, I think that even just the exercise of saying what does between today, we're at the 12th all the way through the 2nd of January, how do I make the, what does thriving mean? And even just the simple idea of going through that, that practice and setting that intention can have a positive impact even before we get into your tips and tricks. All right. So let's say we're like, okay, we don't only want to survive, we want to thrive. We want to really kick it up a notch. Walk me through what your guidance is. Where are we going to start with this when we start getting sort of a little tactical?
Okay, well, we'll pick just a few of the topics that I highlighted. And the first one is travel. So with travel, we want to do a few things that at least minimize the impact it may have upon us. So that's what I've got some tips for.
Absolutely. And let's be honest, like the evolution of travel, in particular airline travel, but if you're driving, et cetera, I'm not joking when I say that it's a viper pit. It doesn't, you know, it's not this joyous, you know, the idea of like airplane flight in the 70s. And you can see, I think that we feel that, but we also witness the overall environment and just the overall stress and discomfort of the travelers. You know, you go and you're watching and you're observing, you know, people watching for these, like, sensing how folks are doing, watching their gates. Me as just a layman, I'm just watching human nature and observing, you know, generally, and it does not look good out there. So I'm eager to, you know, absorb some of your tips on how to make the most of travel.
Yeah, maybe I should say how to circumvent pain and misery.
Yeah, honestly, let's just call it like it is. It's horrible. It can really take you down. So what do we do?
The very first thing with travel is try not to get stuck sitting for excessively long periods. And at first, a person's going to say, gosh, you know, I have to, you know, to drive or to fly. And it's, you know, I'm kind of creating that negative mindset. There's no way I'm trapped. It's not going to happen. But you know what? You can almost use a little creativity and find any way you can to just get up and move gently a few more times. And it does make a significant difference. And so, you know, let's say with the airplane, okay, so instead of sitting at the gate and waiting for your to be called to board the plane, hey, stroll about a bit. Doesn't have to be vigorous, but that movement is so wonderful for keeping your circulation and your metabolism working. Now, when you're on the plane, most of the time, you know, the captain's going to take off the fasten seatbelt, you know, and say you're free to move about the cabin. And so maybe you need to use the restroom. But even if you don't, and in particular, if you have an aisle seat, which is wonderful, you know, just stand up, you know, for a moment. You could do a few calf raises or mini squats or whatever. You know, it depends on how comfortable you feel doing that. But if you're in the window seat on the plane, you know, well, you can always do isometrics. So you can, you know, clench and relax muscles throughout your body. And that does help to move the circulation. So it's, you know, we'll take what we can get. Same thing is true with an automobile trip. You know, it's great to make stops here and there for fuel or for food or whatever, but sometimes you can just pull off the road and, you know, step out of the vehicle for just a few minutes. It's wonderful what that does to prevent the pain and misery.
John, I mean, that's simple, but very achievable. You know, let's say that example that you use. Yeah. I mean, you're walking around, you've gotten there early, obviously, because you need to, but just, I do think our nature is to go and just kind of sit and wait, but you're just saying, just stroll around. It's not like you have to do power walking, just move the bod, and just standing up, you know, breaking up an hour and a half flight, standing up in the middle, just in the aisle, benefits, there actually is some benefit to that.
Yes, totally. And taking it one step further, I was very pleased to see this trend now that I think it's fairly new, but it just could be a factor of how much I pay attention. But several of the major airports now have these murals on the wall of exercises to do while traveling, you know, and so they you know, say do 10 squats and, you know, be mindful of people around you and do 10 trunk twists. And so they've got, you know, there's, you know, half dozen or more of these things, and it's great. Now, I did see about 50,000 people not doing that, and I did see two people doing it, but hey, there might be progress.
But you would say, okay, hey, I'm on an hour and a half flight. Is it really going to make an impact if I just stand up for a couple minutes?
Totally.
And you're saying it is going to benefit. So that's like, of course, let's do it. What else you got on the list?
This is a really, it's a low hanging fruit. That's what I wanted to say. Wear compression socks. They're easy to get everywhere these days. And they have that gradient compression that, you know, runs from the foot up to the knee. Even if you don't have edema problems, even if you're not flying, they really help with circulation because that gentle compression assists what we call venous return, and it brings your blood flow back up towards the heart so it can recycle again. And it's just a wonderful, you know, practically freebie.
I love that. I mean, that is low hanging fruit. You're going to wear socks, just throw a different kind of sock on. Interesting. When we get to the end, I want to ask you a question about all these things combined, but what else do you have on your list?
Well, I'd say the next thing probably gets a little bit controversial, but particularly with air travel, might not be a bad idea to drink a bit of extra water. And why I hesitated when I came up with this was, you know, you don't have to be the person with the giant water bottle who's, you know, chugging three, or, you don't have to go that far, but I think I read somewhere that the pressurized air in the cabin when at 30,000 feet or thereabouts is 18 times drier than most ambient air, you know, like say within the airport when we're walking around. So there's a potential for, you know, a bit more water need or dehydration issue. Not crazy, but the bonus of doing that, you know, drinking, let's say small amounts frequently, is that then it gives you that stimulus to never pass up a bathroom op. So again, we don't want people holding because that's not healthy, but also the bathroom op gives you the movement.
Yeah, and I do think that because finding a restroom or, you know, even just being on the plane, it can be a pain. I think maybe even sort of subtle inclination is not to drink as much water. Mm-hmm. So that's a good, you know, just push yourself to not go obsessive with it, but you should have to use the bathroom several times.
Yeah, and you get into a little bit of physiology there because, you know, if you're taking several ounces, you know, a few sips every hour, that's a good way to stay hydrated, and it doesn't increase the urinary urgency nearly as much as like chugging 20 ounces at once. That creates a, you know, kind of a bladder distension and a stimulus to have to go. So there's a way to stay hydrated without, you know, being in an awkward situation, you know, as far as the restroom goes.
Dynamite. What else is on our list, John?
Well, this one's near and dear to me because, you know, I've done it both ways as far as traveling and looking at eating while traveling. And so I would say that if you are what we call metabolically fat adapted, or in other words, you are a person who, you know, eats a fairly low carbohydrate diet and is able to access stored body fat for fuel fairly easily, then you can enjoy brief fasts and totally avoid the hassle of feeding.
Yeah, I mean, you personally do this. You use those travel days as a fast and sort of deliberately, intentionally.
Yeah, and I'm not doing it to lose weight or to have some kind of vision quest. You know, all I'm doing is just, I'm just saying the hell with that hassle of trying to get in lines and, you know, pay too much for crappy food and wolf it down in a hurry. That none of that appeals to me. So that's kind of my suggestion for most folks. But let's say you're not that person. And you eat a diet that's higher in carbohydrates, and so you know you you have a metabolism that really does need to be fed every 3 or 4 hours or your blood glucose is going to drop precipitously. Well, then plan snacks, you know, take healthy things or buy them or, you know, however you're going to work with the TSA stuff, so that you, you know, you're not stressed about getting food and the food that you're getting is consistent with, you know, what you do for health and performance.
Dynamite, plan ahead. What else we got here, John?
I'd say, and I think I alluded to this previously, keep a flexible and flow with it attitude, because you know what is going to happen.
It really is. Regardless of how you're traveling, there will be some snafus coming your way.
Yep. And so I would just sum it up with the thing that I would say about travel. And I think I've got a story. It's just this, it's smile. Because we know what the situation is, and a lot of times it's not pleasant or exciting, but when you see thousands of people who are scowling, it kind of makes me think, you know what, we could make this world just a little bit better if we just put a smile on our own face for that benefit, but also made some eye contact with folks and gave them a smile. You don't have to be, you know, engaging in conversation and forging these relationships all the time, but a smile is not a bad deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're going with, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, so you add all those up, these are all relatively small, easily accessible things to do. What if you're doing all these, do you think that you can combat the negative impacts and possibly even have a little gain on a travel?
Yeah, you can get to your destination pretty much feeling fine. You know, you just don't have like the swollen legs, the aching back, the headache, you know, all that stuff really can be avoided by doing some of these simple tips.
Dynamite. Well, let's shift gears to the next major point. I think that we discussed it kind of in the open, with all of the parties and including in travel and et cetera, eating, what we eat and how we do it's a major part of the holidays. What are your thoughts on, you know, how to approach that and maybe, you know, again, make some gains and thrive?
I'd go into the discussion of holiday eating with these words of advice. Thou shall not beat thyself up.
Got it. So charitable self evaluation just from the beginning.
Yeah, and just recognize these conditions of change are going to exist, as you indicated, and I'd start to frame it up first of all to say, well, you know, you might not always be able to dictate what's in front of you, like where you are and what's on the table, but you can control what you select and how much of it you consume.
Got it. Makes sense. It can be difficult to do, but if you set that intention, then that part is up to you. Gotcha.
Oh yeah. And that's a great opportunity for enhancing one's social dynamism, because, you know, there is a way to not insult or offend someone and to be tactful and, you know, just enjoy the meal and the sharing without feeling like you're compromising your standards exceedingly.
Indeed. What else?
I'd say this. As a lifetime athlete, you might want to consider saving most of your carbohydrate intake for the evening, to the extent that you consume carbs.
Got it. So sort of backload the day, especially if you know that you have an event or a dinner or something that's happening. You want to modify your consumption during the day.
Yeah. And that comes into two areas. One, by eating fairly low carb through the day, we maintain, you know, more stable or desirable, you know, glucose and insulin levels. That, you know, that's good for long-term health and, you know, energy, mental clarity, some things like that. But then also, you probably by the evening have gotten in whatever it is you're going to do for exercise or training, and so now you've got that window where you know, your muscles are going to help to be a glucose disposal sink, as they're often called, and take up those carbs and store them as glycogen, and you're just going to have less negative repercussions than if you, let's say, did that all day long.
Got it. Well, that makes sense. And again, low-hanging fruit to an extent. Mm-hmm. What else is on this list?
Well, this we hear this all the time for multiple reasons, but, you know, try not to eat too close to bedtime, at least large amounts. You know, we're at the holidays. We've got all those other stressors. We've got the sleep changes. And then now on top of that, if we eat a large or consume a large bolus of food, love that word, we can disrupt sleep patterns and almost like further insult the holiday attack on the body.
Yes. What was that word that you just used?
Bolus. Thanks for letting me use it again.
I like it. All right. Tell me some more. I'm jotting these down. What else is on this list in terms of maximizing our eating?
Okay. So I didn't make up bolus. It exists. And also this next word, postprandial, I didn't make that up either, just to make that clear. But a postprandial, or in other words, after eating, after the meal, stroll can do wonders metabolically.
And so, you're just saying stroll around the block. Is there a certain amount of time? Just move your bod. What are we talking about here?
Go easy, go short, go slow, about 10 minutes. You know, again, according to research, an easy 10-minute stroll, it's not going to divert the blood away from the gut to impair your digestion, but it tends to enhance your insulin sensitivity, so you get less of an insulin spike, and those blood sugar levels will go back to normal a little more rapidly if you do a short stroll after the meal. So it's kind of a cool trick to use. There's going to be some holiday feasting, then hopefully, you know, it's not quite to the extent where you do have to pass out on the couch, but if you have just enough steam, step outside in the fresh air and just amble, wonderful.
Excellent. And then any other considerations?
Well, maybe as a final thing, if you imbibe, just try to get that finished up 2 to 3 hours before bed also, because the literature is fairly strong about how alcohol affects the metabolism, and that also disrupts sleep. So it tends to knock us out, so we fall asleep rapidly, but then the quality of sleep that we get is somewhat more poor, according to, again, a lot of research.
According to the research and the life experiences that all of us have gained. So if you add all those up, those are, you know, like a very, very achievable, and, you know, maybe they might seem separately small, but you add them all together and they can make a significant impact.
Yeah. And ultimately, as a lifetime athlete, you don't want to kind of like wake up in a stupor after your meal feeling like you've been roofied.
Well, that's a great segue, a professional segue into the next topic that we want to dive into, which is sleep. How do we get the most of our sleep in the holiday season?
Well, the basics aren't sexy, but they sure work. And so this first thing we're always talking about for every capacity of life, health, and performance is get your room dark and cool to the extent that the conditions allow. And, you know, we can discuss what those might be. So in other words, we do know that a totally blacked out room and a temperature of maybe 62 to 66 degrees is ideal for sleep, sleep for humans. But, okay, maybe that's not entirely possible where you're at. You know, maybe you can't eliminate some outside light that's getting in, or, you don't have control over the thermostat or the window like you'd want to have. But nonetheless, do your best. And this also might be the same time or opportunity for a sleeping mask and foam earplugs. They no weight, no cost, no space, but really helpful in helping you to get to sleep and stay asleep.
Yeah, how to create that environment, especially if you're not in your home environment. What else do we have?
I'd say this is one of those recognition issues. Simply accept the fact that your sleep may be compromised a bit. And so instead of having that...
Sorry about that.
Oh, that was Mo. Hey, hi, Mo. How you doing? There's something fitting about that, because he's giving us like a sleep alarm.
And that's my guy. He must hear a siren or something that is off in the distance.
Sure. And so the idea that, hey, you know what, instead of being real rigid in your thinking, That's a good one. That's a strong one.
Come here, come here, come on.
I don't know. I'm not going to edit that out. I think that's awesome. He's a part of the fam. So, I think recognize sleep might be compromised, but maybe Mo hears an alarm or something at 5 a.m. and you were hoping to sleep till 7, just roll with it and, pet him on the head and move on. And that's really what I'm going to do now. So,
indeed.
Here's the other thing, looking at this from a perspective, you might be going to bed later. So if it's possible to sleep in a bit more, well, by all means, try to do that.
Yeah, and that just, I think that the overall awareness, that's a really good point, is that things are going to be out of the ordinary. How do you account for them? How do you still take care of yourself with these changing factors?
And going right along, this is a great time to grab a strategic or tactical nap when the opportunity presents itself. So if we know that, you can't get the quality of sleep, the total hours, the timing that you normally do, this is one of the best times to use napping because, you can make up for some of the deficits. So, and especially that seems to be true with some of these holiday visits, there's a lot of times, some afternoon downtime that might be nappable.
Yeah. And I think that that's just to take advantage of it. But let's think about it. Like, if you're not able to put this into place, and let's say you do get some sleep that is non-optimal, maybe it's even trashed, what's your advice in that situation?
Well, in the presence of compromised sleep, try to make peace with it. Make peace with the fact that it will distort your appetite. So you're going to be hungrier overall and probably craving more carbohydrate. That's well substantiated. And you're probably not going to feel as energetic or rested. And so whatever training you have scheduled, if that's the case, you may have to downregulate it slightly.
Got it. So just be paying attention, make some peace with it, and then modify workout if necessary. And that's a great, again, well-crafted flow here. Let's talk about training. How do we get the most of our training in these holiday times?
Oh, I love training. I love talking about training. And hey, guess what, folks? Lifetime athletes, you are a lifetime athlete. And so you don't just exercise, you train like an athlete and get peak performance results. Way to go. The first thing to do is build your holiday training around brief sessions. Just, make sessions that are short and easy to fit in and not too complex. That usually leads to having more wins than losses.
Got it. Quick and simple. That, again, this seems like common sense, but you put it into practice. What else we got going on?
Well, in the presence of a caloric surplus. So all these things we just talked about with, eating and dining and celebrating, there's a good chance that there may be a caloric surplus for most of us. Well, in the presence of a caloric surplus, muscle protein synthesis goes up. Now, especially if you eat more protein and do a bit of strength training. So if you recognize that and say, gosh, I'm having a tactical dose of strength training and I'm already in the presence of all this extra food, so the weight that I gain is going to be more muscle than it is fat.
I love that. That's a sneaky great tip. Is if you're going to be eating more, pump some iron and really start to build some mass.
Yeah, because you want to make gains. You're already getting the cows in, so you just do a few things, and it's a flexathon.
I love it. You've got the extra fuel. Why not make use of it?
Mm-hmm.
What else we got?
Well, then there's the other side of it, which is what I tend to do a lot, is schedule some portion of the holiday season kind of as your postseason in a seasonal model or periodized model, and just get a lot of recovery and downtime. So you're not fighting it. You're not trying to fit in too many workouts and crush things. You're actually going with the flow.
Got it. And there's got to be a flip side of that coin, because maybe you have your family together. Maybe there's some different recreational opportunities or time. What if you want to kick it up a notch?
Yeah, and I've done this a few times as well. You sort of, you know, figuratively speaking, you craft a holiday training camp for your friends or family. And you don't need many folks, as you indicated. If you just have a couple of like-minded critters who want to celebrate in a very athletic way, it works big time. And so that's really a cool way to harness momentum and use the holiday gathering as a chance to really, you know, push training and performance.
That's fun, especially if the conditions present themselves here in Southwest Montana. Obviously, if we get snow, then it could lead to some more activities in the mountains, etc. John, I want you to tie this all together for me. And one thing that you talked about at great length, and it's an important component to the lifetime athlete overall philosophy, and this is awareness. And so many of the things that we've discussed, like tactically for all these different subsections for sleep, eating, nutrition, et cetera, training, is an awareness that then you can apply, you know, a technique or a tip or a trick or a pearl of wisdom. What are your thoughts just on overall awareness? Because I'm curious about this topic came to you because you were aware and put it together. So get us in the mindset.
Yeah. So awareness, you know, it's knowledge, it's concern, it's interest, in, you know, these bigger picture items. And I think when we're trying to promote lifelong health and also peak performance, it really helps to be aware of who we are as people, or, you know, or in other words, say who I am as a person. And then on the next level, if I have to interact with you, you know, who you are, and if I can understand you a bit, then, you know, I can, you know, I can know what to do, not to be an added stressor in your life, maybe do something that, you know, is a positive for you as well. We get better communication and compromise harmony, really. And then on the grandest scheme, awareness, you know, the third level is, you know, the world, the, you know, the contribution, the positivity that we can all be involved in. So, you know, having said that, I just come back to on that personal level. If it's holiday time and you are outgoing, you're extroverted, the life of the party, be that person and rock it, but don't expect everyone else to be.
Absolutely. What if your nature is more introverted?
Yeah. So that's a person who's going to get energized from looking inwardly and having some solitude and scheduling that quiet time in is wonderful for your health preservation. And by all means, don't feel guilty about doing it.
Yeah. And in fact, you know, take it as what you need. Feel good about it.
Totally.
What else are we thinking about here?
Well, I'd say, of course, no matter how popular or buzzwordy this sounds, you know, be mindful, be in the moment and doing that one thing now. And it's just so proven to, you know, not only improve, you know, productivity, but happiness and health. You know, just who you're with and what you're doing and who you're trying to be, it matters completely.
Absolutely. What else you got, John?
Well, just a couple quick ones. You know, I think this is a great time, the holiday season, but why not every day? Shouldn't we practice gratitude and express it to others?
I mean, it really is widely applicable. And then I know that you've cited this past. There's some very tangible health benefits to doing this. But it does also seem like the season to, I guess, the moment in time when unusual circumstances and groups of people and maybe a pause or some revelry, if you do take that moment and think about it through the lens of gratitude, then I think it can be even more powerful.
It is important to give it and also to receive it. PK, man, I love you. And I look forward to these are some of the highlights of my week, as you know, and you're just so awesome to hang out with in any capacity.
John boy, nice setup there. Sneak attack. I appreciate it. And the very same and more right back at you, big fella.
Okay, so here's one that, you know, I'm putting it in this message about awareness during the holidays, but hey, why not breathe? You know, and how about deep and slow on occasion?
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, anything else on this list of awareness and how it can help us thrive in the holidays?
Well, just a final thing is, you know, really the lesson that I think we all want to challenge ourselves to do is love and appreciate people for who they are, try to understand and accept them, and don't get pissed at somebody because they don't do what you want them to do, or they're not being who you expect them to do, you know, with obvious exceptions for basic courtesy. That's my message.
John, wisdom. That's really what you're giving us here. That I feel like it's easy to fall into the trap of the opposite side of that in the holidays. But I tell you what, you know, not only did you provide tactical, practical nuggets, but bravo, my friend.
Hey, thanks, PK. And thanks, guys, for listening as usual. And if you're enjoying this content, by all means, please give us a rating and review wherever you listen to the show, and share it with others. And thank you again. We're not really saying Merry Christmas and Happy New Year yet, because there's more shows to come. But these were tips that were supposed to just kind of help you have a better, more productive and healthy holiday season.
Indeed. Happy holidays, everyone.
See you later.